Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Sans Pants Radio.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, a weekly AFL podcast where we ask the most important sporting question of all. I'm Carney.
I'm Tom. And Joel's back.
Damn right he is.
He's back in the country.
Oh. Joel is back on the show. The other Joel. The Zammit Joel. Hey, Zammit.
Yeah?
How good's footy?
Bloody fucking great, guys.
So who do you back for?
Zammit? West Coast Eagles.
Before we dive in,
yeah,
why West Coast?
I don't know. I think it was just when I was in primary school, and of course that's when you sort of pick your team, your allegiances to it all. And my dad was St Kilda. And one of my brothers...
Dodged a good bullet there.
Yeah, I reckon. One of my other brothers was Demons, because of course...
Dodged and another good bullet there.
And so when it came to me, I was just kind of like, well, I like birds and I like eagles, so I'm going to choose that one. So it was very much just a bird enthusiast.
How did your dad feel about this?
No, he's all right with it all.
You would have been disowned by Carney.
See, I wouldn't tolerate this for my future children.
Really?
Like, it's Brisbane or not. It's Brisbane or homelessness, probably.
What if they choose Carlton?
Well, that's homelessness.
Yeah.
But Belinda's Carlton.
She doesn't care.
She doesn't care?
Not enough to...
No vote there. I'm lucky. Michaela and I have the same footy team.
You're lucky. Oh, yeah, you are.
We're both Geelong.
You're a lucky boy.
I am a very lucky boy.
Fuck. What a game.
What a game.
Amazing game. Like, holy shit. I was tense. I'm like, I'm not a huge, like, football...
Get out.
...follower. Partly because...
You were back in the day, though.
Well, heaps. Like, I know so much about, like, sort of 90s and early 2000s, sort of West Coast Eagles, that kind of stuff. And it was just... during all the drug scandal and just after all that, I sort of lost faith a lot in the game. So I sort of just stopped really paying attention and following it. And, you know, it's just one of those things that you sort of like don't really focus on that kind of stuff. But yeah.
When Dean Kemp gave the cup, we go, there he is. There's my boy.
There's one of the ones that we can talk about and isn't tainted by any kind of scandal. There's not many. There's a couple. There's him and Matera.
Yeah, like Peter Matera, my God. Like seeing Peter Matera play, fuck, was amazing.
He was an exceptionally good player.
I'm shocked he never won a Brownlow.
Yeah,
I know he came close. I think he was a runner-up a few times. But he was incredible. Because I think he was mostly in... because he reinvented himself a while. I'm sorry if I'm kind of scattered, by the way. I'm like jet-lagged.
You just got back. Yeah. And you just found out you're doing this show 30 seconds ago.
Yeah.
You know another Eagle who would have won a Brownlow if he wasn't a fuckwit? And that's...
Daniel Kerr.
Daniel Kerr.
Yeah. Mm. He came close twice.
Yeah, he nearly won it.
Nearly won it.
Beat Cousins, didn't he?
He nearly beat Cousins, but was ineligible.
Yep.
because he was had been suspended that year.
Yeah.
And came close a couple of times. And then when Judd and Cousins left and Daniel Kerr stopped doing drugs, allegedly, his career just fell off a cliff.
And he started punching taxis. Allegedly or true?
Punching taxis.
Remember, didn't he jump on top of a taxi and just start punching it?
I did not we'll hear go that.
With allegedly,
did he Hulk out?
I think he did. Yeah,
because like I remember, because what? Because I remember it was like Kerr, Chiklis, Judd, and
not Chiklis. Daniel Chick. You're thinking of Michael Chiklis from the Shield.
From the Shield. I thought Chiklis was his nickname or something.
No. Daniel Chick.
Did Daniel Chick lose a finger?
Daniel, what?
Yeah, this is a thing, isn't it?
Okay, you keep talking. I'm Googling that.
Yeah, you know, he was allegedly picking up a trailer and the trailer landed on his finger, so it was easier to decapitate. So he played with like a weird glove. Right.
Daniel Chick finger.
Yeah.
Aussie rule star has finger removed.
That's it, yeah.
2007. Oh, I tell you what, Daniel Chick. Oh, boy. has not aged well.
Oh, boy.
He's got a bit of the wizard out of him.
Yeah.
I've aged better.
He's been...
All right, hang on. I'm just going to get this story up because this is amazing.
Yeah.
Australian rules midfielder. Mm. He was a defender, let's be fucking honest. Daniel Chick has sacrificed a finger to save his playing career. The 25-year-old had his ring finger amputated because he repeatedly dislocated it in match situations. Hang on.
So it was by choice? So it was like, this finger keeps getting dislocated, fuck it off.
So he kept dislocating it. He led large parts of the last three seasons through this injury after an operation last year failed to it. Chick was given the option of having the joints fused together or having his finger cut off after the injury showed no signs of healing. But as refusing the joints would have made it difficult to catch and pass the footy, he decided instead to have the finger chopped between the knuckle and the first joint.
Fuse the joints.
Nah,
also,
mate.
This happened late in his career, too.
This is 2007 at 20. Like, he's won a grand final. Mm. Chick is expected to resume training next month. And on release from hospital, he confirmed I only had two options. I don't think fusing the finger would allow me to play the way I want to play. That's fucking insane.
A dedicated boy. All right,
so that's 2007.
Yeah. When did he
retire is my next question.
Not long after that.
Daniel Chick,
is that
drugs
dedication
scandal?
Or is that drugs talking?
Let's just
take a minute too to be like the Eagles who have this drug culture for so long and their motto is we're flying high.
Oh,
it's great.
Well, look, he retired that year. That was his last career.
For a while, and it was incredible to watch. Like, I tell you what, speed real makes a game interesting.
What are your thoughts on Mick Malthouse? Are you a fan?
Is
he warmly received at the Eagles?
Yeah. Again, like he was a very, very good coach.
Yeah.
And I remember watching a game. I think it was against the Bulldogs, and it was like just after he'd renewed for like a long time, whatever. Yeah. And like the first quarter. We just got it. Like we just got thrashed, and we were just like, you know, basically, like it was an incredible game to watch. So, like the first quarter, we're like, "Fucking why we were this piece of hack shit?" Where I did that. Second quarter, we're up again. We're like, what a hero! What a hero taking us from behind. Oh, next quarter, hack again. it was kind of like, I guess he's well received. I miss John Worsfold.
Wusha Bombers. Now they showed Mick Malthouse a bit in the crowd.
Yeah,
and I reckon he would have been going for the Eagles.
He was. Yeah.
He tipped
Eagles. He openly said he tipped.
Did he say
the, do you know who didn't tip the Eagles?
Who?
Robert fucking Walls.
Oh, Wallsy.
So he's come out. So
Have you heard the latest of this?
Yes. Oh. So early in the season, doing his prediction, Wallsy came out and said there are two teams in Perth. One of them will be playing finals and one of them will be holding up the bottom of the ladder. And it was Freo would make finals and West Coast would bottom out.
Where'd Freo finish?
Oh, I think they finished like 14th or 15th.
Yeah.
Shit. Terrible. Terrible. Anyway, West Coast made the grand final. Wallsy goes, doubles down, goes, no. They're pretenders. Collingwood will win by about 10 goals. Mm-hmm. Like really hard. Today has come out and gone, oh, they're easy to rile up over there in the West. It's like, what the fuck?
He claims that he did it as a motivational tactic.
Yeah.
To bring the fans together. He's a fucking
everyone
idiot.
Needs a lightning rod to just hate on.
Yeah.
So it was a good tactic. It worked.
Robert Walls isn't smart enough to do that, though.
Do you remember earlier in the year, we talked about this on the show, when Freo lost by 80 points and he gave all three best on ground votes to Fremantle players?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I think it got smashed by like Hawthorn or something.
Yeah, or Collingwood or whatever. And he's insane.
Oh, no. It was the showdown. The derby. Yeah. It was West Coast Freo game. He didn't give them a single vote, and they won by like 10 goals. Gave all the votes to like Fife and Lachie Neal and shit. Oh, man.
Why is he hating on my boys?
I don't know. But your boys. So, yes. Grand final was this Saturday. Collingwood, mm-hmm. West Coast. Mm-hmm. Possibly one of the best grand finals of the last 10 years.
Yeah. Like, last grand final I watched was the West Coast Sydney.
06.
And yeah, that was tense. Because the previous year was tense and heartbreaking.
Yeah. We haven't had a game decided by under a kick since 2012 when Sydney played Hawthorn and Malcheski kicked that goal with a minute to go to seal it. Ooh. Put it out to 9 points, I think.
Yeah.
And then before that was either the draw or the Geelong St Kilda one, which was a goal.
Yep.
We haven't had one that close for ages because you had the Hawthorn fucking three-peat. Yep. Even the Bulldogs game was three or four goals and was
it was
the
tight
result
until sort of the last five
minutes. You put it this way, with a couple of minutes to go, they were celebrating on the bench in the Bulldogs-Sydney game.
Yeah.
The Richmond-Adelaide game was over at halftime. This game, the last minute. Oh, my God. What a game.
Watching it and, I was at a friend's house and a lot of their supporters were Collingwood and I'm, like, there with my Eagles scarf being like, yes, I am here and I do not care. And, yeah, so, you know, like, quarter time, you're like, all right, look, we're down, that's fine. But, like, yeah, it's a game of four quarters, you know? It's a game of four quarters, you know, it's two halves.
We were not that optimistic. Game.
No, we weren't.
Tom reached for his scarf in the first quarter.
Well, look, so we went.
Yeah.
There's two of us and Joel, and Dusha. Yeah. Fucking dumb where he is. He's probably dead.
In a ditch, maybe.
He's in the ditch. He's partying
in a dog.
He's out there partying with Daniel Chick. Yeah. So we went, got a scarf. I got on board.
Yep.
Eventually.
It was a late one, late call.
Was it there? It was there before the
dance? It was about as late a call up as Joel Zammert into this episode. Yeah.
But yeah, so you had you're in enemy territory.
Yes, it was very very because I'm very like jovial and I'm very like kind of like I'll give as good as I get kind of stuff. But then I'm remembering that a lot of people take this sport very seriously, more than I take anything. And I'm kind of just kind of like having a bit of fun. I'm like, I bet I should tone this down, but I didn't. It was good because I had a couple other sort of people who were also either West Coast supporters or also choosing West Coast at the time. And it was just great to like every time we got them, like, look at that honest boy giving like playing fair, getting that honest kick every time. Collingwood, like, look at this lying cheater.
You put the boots in. Fuck.
Are you superstitious? Like, did you watch at the start and see the Collingwood banner fall apart and go, yep, we're on today?
No, actually, I didn't see that start. I sort of came in like
very funny
a couple minutes into the first quarter. I was like, oh, we're down for a bit. Oh, geez.
Now, that banner was...
What happened?
It fell apart.
Just fell apart.
The players came up the race and the banner was just in a pile on the ground. And Brody Grundy just kind of walked over to it, picked up a bit of paper, put it to his chest and put it back on the ground again. And look, you know, no disrespect, but the poor head of the cheer squad was in tears. Oh. Full credit to your Bucks. Went over, gave her a hug, said it didn't matter. Oh. After the game, so we're thinking, fucking did matter.
Oh, it mattered.
But it didn't because the banner was destroyed. They kicked the first five goals of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was incredible. I was just like, whoa, we're down by a lot here. That's just like, that's only five kicks. It's fine. We got this. I was like, fair enough. It was fun. Hey, silver medal's good, you know? Second, like, hey, you're the number one losers. That's good. That's great.
I know someone who knows someone who works in the Collingwood cheer squad, and she was saying the issue was that they went too big. They got too ambitious.
It was
the banner
huge.
Was so big that that's why it ripped. So
it was a much bigger banner than the Eagles banner.
So just like it fell under its own weight. Kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, I think it got caught in a bit of a breeze, fell under its own weight.
Yeah.
I actually,
they got greedy.
On Friday, saw the West Coast guys putting their banner together.
Yeah.
And the dude working in the change, because that's what they do them in the change rooms and they keep them just in the race.
Yeah.
Mm. The guy, the guard who was stationed down in the change rooms that day was like, oh yeah, West Coast are in. Haven't seen Collingwood. They're supposed to come in today. They can't do it tomorrow. So they were all over they were very tardy with their banner preparations. And I think it cost them a flag. Just saying.
You know who won a fair bit of respect for me was Buckley.
Yeah.
I just like the way that he handled a lot of things on the day. Like that, you know, talking with that lady, with the runner who...
Alex Woodward.
Woodward?
Woodward wouldn't do that.
That's it, yeah.
Woodward.
That was in the third quarter, Ed. Now, he ran across. Did he block a Collingwood mark or something? And then West Coast kicked a goal?
Well, Taylor Adams was kicking it in. He tried it. The kick from Adams wasn't great.
Yeah.
Stevenson had to run to the ball, and he probably wouldn't have. Like, him and Yo kind of would have hit it up. But basically, it meant that Yo just stood still and held his arms out. Stevenson got blocked by his own runner, couldn't get to the ball.
Yeah.
Yo went back from 55, 60 and just straight through the middle.
Yeah. Stevenson blamed the runner.
Well, to be fair, yes. Mm. People are talking about how, you know, that cost them the game. That was in the third quarter. Collingwood then kicked the first two goals of the last quarter and were in front for all of that, the play in the last quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at like the last quarter, especially, like, it was in the Eagles inside 50 for so long and we just kept kicking behind.
Oh, I was nervous.
Like, I was like, it was good. It was like making gags, being like, it's right. We just got to get six behind and we're on top. It's good. And then we kick six behinds.
Yeah, I think you did. I think four or five behinds. And then all of a sudden, 4 minutes into the quarter, ball goes down the other end, and Mason Cox marks, kicks it across the face.
Mm.
But I tell you what,
he came alive in that second half.
Yeah, we got stuck into him at half. I think he heard us. He's got a big head on a big body.
Yeah,
he can hear over the noise because he's so tall.
You know, he didn't dominate when you didn't really hear much of the USA chant.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden,
hey, how about when we got to the ground? We've come in, we've taken our seats, and we're like, oh, this is pretty good. There's 100,000 people here. The atmosphere was great. And then there's just like this chant of Eagles, and it was so loud. I did not expect that many Eagles fans. It was at least 50-50, I reckon.
Yeah. I think also, though, you had a bit of ABC.
Yeah.
Anyone but Collingwood.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Eddie's attempts to try to get the rest of Victoria on board backfired spectacularly.
There's always gunner, though.
Just, oh, come on, Victoria, get behind West Coast. It's like, no. Also, West Coast win, good for footy.
It's great for footy.
Because there's all these rumblings happening in the lead up to the grand final from Don Pike in Adelaide.
What'd Pikey do?
Pikey's come out and said, we would support a best of three grand final.
They're idiots, Adelaide.
Play one game, you know, let us play in Adelaide, you know, because we finished on top and we had to play Richmond at their home ground.
Yeah.
West Coast had to do exactly that. Do you want to know a fun stat, boys?
Yes. Right?
Okay. About the Eagles this year.
Yeah.
Did not lose a game in Victoria.
Really?
West Coast did not drop a game in Victoria.
West Coast were the best team all year when you look at the record. No, they were. Like, I know Richmond, but if you look at it, West Coast beat all the top four teams.
Yep.
They beat Collingwood three times.
And won interstate.
They won interstate. They won their games in Melbourne. And they were in the top four, entrenched in the top four for pretty much the whole season. They had a great year.
They were the sleeper.
They're underrated.
They're very underrated.
On this show as well. Like, the whole year, we were like, they're going to probably finish top four, but they're not going to do any damage. And they surprised us.
I think it is our Victorian bias. I think I forget that Perth exists.
Definitely, yeah. We are the VFL.
Like, I look at the VFL on the show, and it stops at the South Australian border. Just like, there it is. It's just that little Victorian wedge.
Yeah.
Does this, like, there is a bit of VFL bias in the media.
Well, but that's in the...
I get it because it's like Herald Sun and stuff. It's like, all right, that's a Melbourne paper. But when you've got like 360, which isn't that a national show?
Yeah, Foxtel.
They go hard for Victoria.
Yeah, because it's filmed in Melbourne.
Yeah, but still, it's still a national competition.
But I think they were talking up, I think, again, in terms of just pure media.
Yeah.
As we were talking about last week, the West Coast story is boring. Well, it's not as interesting as the Collingwood story was. Or the Richmond back-to-back. Or the Melbourne finally making finals.
Yeah.
If West Coast had have had some of the storylines that some of the other clubs had, maybe you'd see a bit more of a focus. But I just like the fact that all these interstate clubs who are like Sydney and Adelaide in particular are complaining about having to play the grand final, the MCG, blah, blah, blah. West Coast did it. They turned up and they won. So it actually doesn't come down to where the game's played.
Brisbane did it three times. Good teams overcome it. So under Adelaide are pushing hardest for this. They want the best of three. So under their proposed model, this year's finals, West Coast finished higher, so it would have been first game at
Optus.
Second game at
Collingwood's home ground, so and then the third game at the MCG.
It's fucking dumb.
Yeah. So they won three games.
Yeah,
won
best of three. Final.
Yeah. So what if it's Collingwood versus Richmond grand final, three games at the MCG?
Well, maybe only two. Because here's the thing, right?
If you win two.
So under that system, Don Pike last year would have just had to play two games and lost fucking both of them.
Yeah.
It's like so the piece of shit his team is.
Okay, so just in terms of just planning a thing.
Yeah.
Now, I am in charge of a very small company.
Yep.
And planning is several weeks out would be kind of hard. You've got to kind of get all these kind of things they're planning. Planning a grand final, three of them. Yep. So I'm you work for the MCG. Yeah.
Yep.
So like the plan that goes in...
I would neck myself.
Yeah. So imagine that doing it twice.
Yeah.
Sorry, two more times. And one of those is a maybe.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not even a guaranteed third game. It's a
Do you pay for staff? Do you pay?
Well, so to be fair though, that's how the rest of the final series works.
Yeah, but what about you're not going to get the Black Eyed Peas three times?
No.
Where's the money coming from?
Well, Pikey will front up a bit of cash. It's a dumb thing, and it'll never happen.
Yeah, and again, coming from a supporter, you're not going to go to the first game. Why would you?
No.
Yeah, if you're going to spend your bucks, it's on the second or the third.
It's the second or the third, because why would you go to the first?
It's not. It doesn't work like the way the NBA finals work, where you have...
It's, oh.
Dumbest fucking...
Yeah.
South Australia, merge those two teams.
Yeah, great.
Shut up.
Yeah, that's exactly... No, but my big thing is I would prefer playing the grand final in the biggest stadium in the home state rather than a best of three. Like, if they're going to change the... Keep it as one game.
Yeah.
Because the best of three is so dumb.
Yep.
They got rid of the draw because they didn't want to have to play a game 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Right? They got rid of the draw for that reason. They are never going to introduce... They're talking about fucking extending the goal square to the fucking other end of the ground.
To the moon.
To the moon. They're not logical, and they're never going to get on board with Pikey's suggestion. And although, because they're idiots, they may have flirted with the idea. So the fact that West Coast won means they'll be like, nah, fuck off. West Coast won. Back off. It's not a problem until 2049 anyway. So.
Well, that's it. Like, it's a moot point because haven't they signed an extension with the MCC?
Yeah.
Like, it's locked in.
It is.
So it should be. It's the best ground in Australia. Get fucked. That's how I talk to South Australian football.
Oh,
bloody idiots.
But no, great game.
Ripping game.
We went.
Fuck, it was the best game I've ever been to.
It was one of the best.
Bear in mind, most of the games I go to are when Brisbane travel down here and get smashed. So it was a ripping game. Biggest crowd. Is that the biggest crowd you've been to?
No.
Definitely is for me. Well, how is it not? Because it's only two off the capacity. Have you been to a capacity game?
Sean, I've been to I've been to lots of grand finals.
Yeah, have they been capacity? Because you told me this was only two.
Yeah.
Again, why is it two people off capacity? Why can't they just bring two people? That was the other thing, Zammit.
Hang on, two people off capacity?
Yeah. It was two people off capacity.
Zammit, we got there early and there are so many competitions and things outside to win tickets, but there are so many people out there with signs saying that they want, like, you know, after a ticket and stuff. People, it breaks your heart a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a great... Did you see this? Maybe Dusha and I saw it. There were two mates walking around. They both held the signs. One of them said, need two tickets. And his mate next to him, it said, need two tickets or just one ticket.
I would have given him a ticket.
Yeah.
Just given him a stick,
a
ticket, and be like, off you go, boys. Last man standing gets a ticket.
So how does that happen that they have two people missing?
It would be... AFL members, it would be.
Has that someone corporates. Has bought two tickets and they're not shown up?
Possibly.
Yeah.
It could be corporates.
Yeah.
It could be MCC. And the MCC are really, really big on the grand final being full. So the way it works is if you're an MCC member, is you go on a ballot, they pull your name out. If you get tickets in the ballot and then don't show up, you can't enter the ballot next year.
Oh.
Or if they then check your barcode and be like, ah, you didn't go. You had two seats reserved that you didn't sit in because you didn't scan into the ground on the day. Unless you provide a medical certificate or an actual reason as to why you couldn't, you will not be able to enter the ballot in the next year.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of issues of people just doing it and then their teams don't get in. They go, oh, fuck it, not going through.
Dogs. I'll go anyway.
A lot of returns after Richmond and Melbourne got knocked out that week. A lot of people who got in the ballot said, I'll just put it back in the system and go to the next person in the list.
Huge atmosphere, though.
Massive atmosphere.
Well, I feel like we were the rowdiest people in our section.
Yeah. Nah,
yeah.
There were some pretty rowdy blokes near
were
us. There was that lady behind us who gave us a footy
lady.
Card, gave us a record.
She was quiet, I thought.
Oh, nah.
Nah, she wasn't going off.
Nah, when...
Was she?
Yeah.
I must have been in my own world.
You were.
I was flying high.
Tell you what.
She did. She gave us the record at the end.
Yeah.
Because she thought this is a commemorative nice thing for these West Coast boys.
Supporters.
All in our scarves. And then someone stole it off Dusha.
Yes. Oh, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. We weren't West Coast supporters.
We got some swag, actually.
Yeah.
But again, it was annoying to carry after the game because it was like a Chemist Warehouse bag.
Yep. Had some micellar makeup remover.
Had some good shit in it.
Yeah.
Some moisturizer.
Footy cards.
Footy cards.
I've still got them.
I've still got the, that's the only thing I kept.
I need to, we need to do some swapping. I got a couple of Brisbane players.
Oh, I got some mines.
We didn't keep the moisturizer.
What?
Yeah. It fucking, you carry around a show bag when you're at the pub.
Yeah. No.
I got home at 3:30. There's no way I was carrying a bloody. Oh, you can hear it in my voice. I am still more jet lagged than Zammit.
And, all
right. I didn't go through any different. I went through a lot of different time zones, beer time zones. I see. It was an amazing game.
Yeah. A game for the ages.
However,
I'm sure Bruce said that in the telecast. I don't know.
Well, I watched a bit of the telecast.
Did he say that?
The commentary was shithouse.
He said the eagle has landed on the siren.
It was amazing.
Oh, get your own shit, Bruce.
Did you...
Eddie the Eagle.
It's not Eddie the Eagle, mate.
That's where I've heard it from. So.
The eagle has landed.
Yeah, I know it's a popular thing, but I heard it most recently.
It's a bird, it flies.
No,
I know what it is, Tom, but it's most recently from Eddie the Eagle.
No, it's not a popular thing. It's the thing they said when they landed on the fucking moon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a popular thing. It's like
that's a popular thing. No, it's a saying.
It's a historical thing.
The eagle has landed is a popular saying.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
It's a saying.
What do you mean it's not a popular saying?
It is not a popular...
How do you define not popular?
Well, no, I define
it's famous.
It as- yes.
Popular.
No.
What do you mean?
No, because reducing it to a popular saying is like saying it's like all's well that ends well. It's not.
It is, though. It's like that. It's become
well,
that.
I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a phrase I use in my every day-to-day life.
It's not. It's a very... It's him riffing on a historical moment.
What?
And that's what Eddie Eagle did, too. The Eagle has landed.
Eagle did that. Yeah, the commentator back then nailed it. But that was then. This is now. Come on, Bruce. You're better than that.
You watch it on TV.
Yes.
Moving aside before I punch someone.
Yeah.
Before I dislocate and cut off your fucking finger.
You'd have to stand up to do that, mate.
Hey, I stood.
You did a lot. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
You didn't stand on the first time.
Yeah, but I didn't need
up.
To.
You did, because it was the... Damn it.
Mm.
We talk a lot about Tom not standing up on this show, but for us, so Collingwood kicked the first 5 goals. The Eagles needed a lift. Dutra and I got right up for their first goal. Because you got to lift the boys.
No, we didn't.
Was it the second goal?
Their first goal was Rioli's.
Didn't we get up?
Ah, oh, what a beautiful first goal.
Because no one realised it was a fucking goal.
Right, maybe no it was the second goal.
It was amazing. I was like, imagine that. Imagine this, right? So you train, you're like the whole year to, you know, in this team, and no one expects you to go to the grand final, but you're finally making the grand final. Like, sick, I'm going to do really well. And, you know, the opposition, if they've scored 5 goals in front of you, you're like, God damn, we just need something. And as you're going in, the fucking ball's going wild. You just, you trip. And you look down, you've tripped over the ball. And you realize, it went into the goal. I fumbled the first goal of our team. Am I a hero or just a fucking dickhead Mr. Magooing my way in this team? Hard to say, but I loved it. It was beautiful. And I shed a tear.
I forgot it was the trip goal. We must have got up for the second goal.
Nah, it wasn't even the second goal.
Did we get up for the third goal?
It was the second quarter.
What?
It was the goal that was set up by Liam Ryan.
Okay.
Kicking it into Lacroix, who then handballed over the top to Cripps, running in like super cheap Cripps, right?
Mm-hmm. Super cheapy.
Super cheap green. You don't stand for a super cheap.
I had to. I feel like it was context-based. Clearly, I don't remember it well enough.
Just ask me, when did I start standing?
When did you start standing?
The moment the game began. Ask me when I sat down.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, 10 minutes after the siren.
I mean, you can do that at your home when you're in someone's house.
Yeah.
It's also because all the Collingwood people were sitting in the chairs.
Well, I wanted a buffer of several chair rows in front. And
no, I stood after the second goal, which was the shooey round the corner.
If I recall, though, from the corner of my eye and the memory that I'm calling back on, Douche and I were up and then you looked at us, saw we were going up and went, it's a safe place. And gone up.
No. I'm pretty sure you're wrong.
I could be.
Because I was up first for Shuey's girl.
There's a lot of beer between now and then.
Yeah, I know. But I was up first for Shuey's girl.
Were you?
Yep.
All right, good.
Because then when we sat down, you were like, I'm proud of you, Tom, but you should have stood up earlier. And I said, mate, I was up when the ball left his boot. Because I knew it was going through. It was, yeah, look, I'm getting better.
Was he your pick for Norm Smith?
He wasn't, actually.
Weirdly, I would have gone with McGovern.
Well,
we've talked about this. I sometimes have a different view of it when I'm at the game as opposed to watching it on TV. So when I'm at the game, I probably don't notice the inside midfielders as much. It's McGovern who's taken the huge marks. But when you're watching on TV, maybe you notice Shuey a lot more. I don't know.
Well, this is what I want to talk about, just to get back to one point. So, TV.
Yes.
Was the commentary shithouse?
We were doing our own commentary. So again, it was it was there. You just don't really listen to it because you're there yelling about how dishonest and cheating that the Collingwood players are, you know? It was always great giving running, you know, commentary on haircuts, being like, oh, look at this gross look at that. That's a terrible haircut. Then someone gets in, like, look at that beard. That's a beard you can set your watch to. A good, honest beard. Look at this lovely chap's hair. That's a haircut you could see in the military or, you know, going for Congress. We don't know, but either way, I trust that boy. West Coast player. Never a Collingwood.
We did talk about haircuts a lot because there are two Collingwood players who, if I had to describe Collingwood as a haircut, they've got them. Jaden Stevenson also has a Collingwood name, Jaden, spelt J-A-I-D-Y-N, very Collingwood. And also Jordan DeGoey, another Collingwood name, another Collingwood haircut.
Yeah. What's the haircuts?
They're just like, they're not quite mullets, but they're like shaved here.
So shaved at the sides.
But
long at the top?
Longish
so it's like,
at the top.
So it's like sort of a business on the sides, party at the top, party at the back?
Yeah, but not quite fully at the back.
All right, so
it's very
so party at the front, business in the sides, sort of business casual at the back.
Yes. Semi-formal at the back.
Semi-formal at the back. Yeah. All right.
So it's like a fun polo shirt.
All right.
These are the instructions he gives the hairdresser.
Yeah. You cut my hair so I look like a fun polo shirt.
Don't worry, Matt. I've got you covered.
No, he just goes in and he's like, "Oh, what kind of haircut are you doing?" He goes, "Oh, I play for Collingwood. And I'm an exciting forward. Mate, I need to look flashy."
I got you. I know.
Yeah, I know, mate. I got you, fam. But I thought Norm Smith, McGovern, Luke Shuey was up there, and I thought he'd get it. I thought Sheed was a chance as well. Kicked
Sheed
a big
was
goal,
awesome.
Had a massive game. But I want to bring in a point of contention, and a man who didn't poll a single Norm Smith vote. Ooh. Huge game, 37, and you'd be very familiar with this player, Zammit, being so familiar with the West Coast players. Tom Barras.
Oh, yeah.
Played on Mason Cox.
Yep.
He's giving Cox about 15 centimetres of height.
Like everyone else.
Beat him one-on-one a lot.
Yeah.
The only times Cox was taking marks was when he had space because Barras had been like shepherd right. Had a brilliant game and was instrumental in that first half when they really needed to get back into it. And then throughout the third quarter while...
Some of the other boys lifted in the second half.
Yes.
When he kind of... I thought he faded for a little bit. I feel that's a thing with Mason Cox. When the other teams fatigue a bit because he's just so big. And they just bombed in high. That's when he can start to get into the game a bit. Because he was non-existent in the first half. So was Jack Darling.
It's the old footy adage. The big blokes don't get any smaller. Which is, it's a footy saying. Yeah. It's a dumb fucking footy saying.
Yeah.
But on the, I do think, well, Barras and all those guys were great. Shuey was deserving purely because I was reading in the paper yesterday. Statistically, he had the best final performance of a player since they started doing these rankings in 2010.
Yeah.
So beat Dusty from last year
by
about 5 points, which
is
massive.
Any Cats from prior to that system? That
no Cats at all.
No, because it only came in 2010.
So do you know what? Yeah, like Ablett in 2009, Stevie J in 2007.
Do you remember Simon Black's game in 2003?
Oh.
Had 40 touches.
Yeah.
Like, I reckon that. And Acker kicked 5 goals in one of those games.
Fossey.
There'd be a lot.
In any of them?
Yeah.
Buckley do you know who wouldn't get one? Nah, not Buckley. He would get one.
All right.
Nah. Absolutely not. All right.
But McGovern only got one vote from the judges.
Yeah, so.
It's weird.
Boys.
Oh, Kennedy was great too. And Jack Darling, really just that third quarter, that was like one of the best quarters of the year.
Almost fucked it though. Dropped that mark in the goal square with a
minute. Imagine if they lost. Jesus. They didn't, it's all good.
But for the flip side, the mark. McGovern's or Sheed's?
Sorry, yeah, the Sheed's mark.
So you
the
saw
block.
It. Mm-hmm. People like it's a block.
Nah, I don't agree.
Do you know those? Yeah, it's not a block.
this could be my West Coast bias speaking, but
No, it's not. And I think I agree with you. It's not a block because the ball actually both Rioli and Maynard.
Yep.
Misread the flight of the ball and
Absolutely,
thought it was actually going further back. In fact, everyone misread the flight of the ball, including the commentators, because BT actually says Ryan's missed Sheed with that kick.
Yep.
As soon as it left the boot.
It held up a bit.
It just held up a bit and she was able to get a clean run at it.
If you actually watch it, Maynard's pushing back.
Yeah.
So for him to have effectively been blocked by Rioli, they would have had to switch positions.
Yeah.
Because he's coming back at him. And then the ball...
He runs back at him. They engage. He realizes the ball's going the other way and tries to go. But by then, him and Rioli are wrestling.
Yeah, it's not a block. It's just he misread it.
Yep.
And if you want to get salty about it, he got Rioli high in the head anyway. So it's a freak. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Ah. Also, still a very hard goal to kick.
There is a petition online, actually, that has, I think, 800 signatures at time of recording for the AFL to overturn the decision, the result of the grand final because of bad umpiring.
The umpiring was really good on the day.
See what I mean? See what I mean?
Yeah.
Dishonest. All of them. Dishonest. Oh. Not a single honest bone in their goddamn bodies.
Bunch of haircuts. But the umpiring I thought was really, really good.
Yeah.
It is that kind of frustrating thing where it's like whatever they've umpired all year kind of gets thrown out the window on grand final day and we just get that free-flowing, which I love, but why don't they just do that all year? The protected area one. Went out the window because there was about six of them in the last quarter.
I'm glad that I hate that rule so much.
Despicable.
There was a couple of sliding below the knees ones though. And I'm like, what the fuck is that rule?
Yeah.
Only 150 meter penalty. Good.
Yeah, it was a
and
pretty.
No team got a free kick in their own in their forward 50.
Which
so
is
there was
good
no
too.
Free kicks given, like no goals from free kicks.
Because I've been to games this year where like there's 10 of them in the first quarter and you're just like, ah, I'm just going to go home because this is shit. So it was good. I liked the way they officiated it. And
And that's the thing. I think because we were like, you know, I was chatting with a mate who's also, you know, West Coast supporter. And we were down. We're like, oh, the umpires are against us. And the moment you're up, like, it's just one of those things. As a supporter, it just, you always see the biases against your own team or whatever. So, I thought the umpiring is very, very well done.
Jeremy Howe dragged it in the goal square. That should have been a free kick and a goal. There's all these little things. So if there are Collingwood people who are like, oh, we were robbed, as Lee Matthews. Did Lee Matthews come out and say they were robbed?
Yeah.
No, Robbo did.
No, Lee Matthews did too.
He didn't use the words robbed though.
No, Robbo did. Robbo
said, watched it 30 times, free kick 30 times, robbed. And it's like, there are so many moments. Also, if you look at it, like West Coast kicked, what, 3-6 in the last quarter? Like,
they're all over.
They're the team that deserve to win. After quarter time, they were a better team all day. Realistically, watching it, they probably should have won by 3 or 4 goals.
I was weirdly expecting us to basically lose and fumble, especially in the last quarter where we were just like kicking behind after behind after behind.
Yeah.
And then when there was that little break where it was just like in Collingwood's inside 50, and I was like, oh, there it is. We fucked it. We had so many chances at this and we fucked it. And then, oh, we didn't. Okay, we didn't. We didn't fuck it. We're good.
Yeah. If you want to talk pessimistic, when they kicked the third or fourth goal in a row in the first quarter, Sean went, oh, I'm calling it.
Oh, fair enough. Like, I was almost like, well, I guess I'm here with some good friends. This is nice to have people around. This is good. But by the third quarter, I was shaken. I was shaken.
What about the start of the last quarter when Collingwood kicked the first two? And it was like, oh no.
And that were huge goals.
And it could just, and it was quick. Like, and then West Coast kicked another one straight away. Yeah. So it was three goals in like 3 minutes. And it was holy shit.
Considering that in the second quarter, there was no goal till the 4 minute mark.
It was an intense game.
Yeah.
This is the thing too. You don't need a high scoring game for it to be fucking awesome.
No.
The game's great. This is so annoying because
the game's broken. Guys, needs to be fixed.
They're going
to
bring in these rule changes, and we've just had like one of the best games in years.
Yeah.
Fuck AFL.
But it's two good teams playing off in a grand final.
That's it. That's the difference. You can't look at like a Carlton versus Fremantle and be like, oh, the game's broken. Because Someone tweeted this. They're like, yeah, you can't judge it on those two teams because they're not trying to be good.
No.
Like, they're just shit.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's what it is. When you've got good teams, I mean, it doesn't always happen because we've had, you know, some bad prelims. And the final series, it's probably only two good games, and it was both the Collingwood-West Coast games.
Well, so the first Collingwood-West Coast game in the last quarter had 12 lead changes, the first final. And then this one, fucking down to the last minute.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, footy's fine.
It's great.
If we're talking about conspiracies, though, and things that are dodgy and need investigating, I've got obscure one that's probably wrong, but I like having a conspiracy. So let me put my tinfoil hat on.
Ooh.
Done.
Norm Smith voting.
Ooh.
So John Longmire, Bridget Lacey.
Yep.
I think Carey.
Who's that, sorry?
Oh, I guess.
Do you need a glass of water?
Yeah, I need a glass. Yeah. Wayne, you get me a glass? Just throw it and I'll catch it with my face. Yeah.
We saw Wayne Carey before the game, actually.
I felt him like I had a fucking spidey sense.
I saw him late. I was going to peg a footy at his head.
Why are we so forgiving on certain people and so unforgiving in certain others?
Because Wayne Carey is good at football, mate.
But he's such a...
He's a legend of the game.
Can we? What can we say? Allegedly?
No, not even allegedly. Done it. He did it. Like he glassed his girlfriend in the face. And there are reports, and these are allegedly, but there are reports throughout his career that he would like grope women on the street when he walked past them.
Yeah. Again, when I was literally the game. Yeah, that was in Wayne Carey's like heyday, and he was just a scumbag.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Like, he had sex with his best mate's wife at his mate's house.
The captain of his club.
Yeah. Well, he was the captain.
No.
Yeah.
No, Wayne Carey, I don't think was captain.
Yeah, Wayne Carey was captain.
I think Anthony
captain.
Stevens was captain at the time.
I think Stevens became captain afterwards. Really? Wayne Carey was captain, wasn't he? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I think so.
Anyway, piece of shit.
It's shitty.
Yeah.
But the thing is that he still, people are like, oh, you know, time, you know, he can go back to work and do stuff. I'm like, yeah, sure. He can absolutely go and have a second chance. It doesn't have to be as a prominent figure in the AFL media, though, because that teaches kids that, there's no consequences if you throw glass in a woman's face.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fuck. But, like, you know, James Heard did some shitty things. No one's going to forgive James Heard ever for that because he cheated. Wayne Carey, in my opinion, is worse than James Heard.
Definitely.
Well, yeah. Because, like, one is just kind of like, a, you know, one's off the game, you know, cheating at the game. Other is just like, as a human being, you made some very poor
James Heard's
decisions.
Never beaten. You never heard a news report about James Heard punching Tanya Heard in the face. You know, I just thought it was baffling to see Carey sitting on a panel, a commentary panel with Jimmy Bartel, who in his last season grew the beard to get people talking about, you know, domestic violence and big campaigner against women's violence because his mother and his father and like all this kind of shit. And he has to sit there and commentate a game with this fucking dipstick who can't talk and is an imbecile.
Has he at least come out and apologized and done all the
But like, who gives a fuck? I don't want him to apologize. Get him off my TV. He can apologize, but he doesn't have to be on TV.
Fair.
You know? Yeah. Oh, anyway, conspiracy theory.
Yep.
I think John Ralph was the other voter, maybe. So, a media
Someone
person.
Was.
Anyway, so the votes are given out. Three of the four voters all voted differently, except Wayne Carey had the exact same three votes as one of the other judges. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that it is because Wayne Carey is an imbecile and can't have an independent thought and needs to like just copy off somebody else, but I think it's because Wayne Carey is an imbecile and just was like, oh, fuck, who did you do? Oh, yeah, I'll do the same.
Did it affect the result?
Well, he put Shuey 3, but I think they all put Shuey 3. Like,
except Wanganeen. Wanganeen had
there you go, Wanganeen.
Adams, I think.
Adams, yeah.
Yeah.
And Shuey second. Yeah.
Did you see the Gary Ayres Award?
Went to
Best Finals Player. Yeah, Sidebottom won it. That would be a very hollow victory because
He was shocking.
Basically didn't play in the grand final.
He was wearing a backpack named Mark Hutchings.
Oh.
So
do you agree with that? I don't know. That medal just seems weird because, for instance, Collingwood played four games and West Coast played three. So
Jack Redden nearly won it, though.
It's kind of not an even
award,
though.
Such a dumb award. I hate it so much. You could have a player have like two of the best finals.
Yeah.
But then not make the grand final and then they can't win.
The only way I can see to do it is to not actually give them scores. Like, they don't do that in the NBA. In the NBA, it's like MVP of the finals. They just, like, get a panel together and pick who was the best player.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So you might look
Sidebottom would probably still win.
He might.
Because sure, he wasn't amazing in the other two finals.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, no one really dominated all the games.
No.
But still, I think that's a better system.
Maybe Joel Selwood. anyway.
Yeah, Geelong.
I mean, we'll be fine next year.
What a sad clown of a joke.
Stop it. That's really mean.
Yeah, well.
I took you to the grand final.
Yeah. Zammit did.
Yeah, right.
But you were pretty heavily involved.
In fact, if I wasn't
I'm a lucky boy.
If I wasn't involved, you wouldn't have gone.
Yeah, I know. great day.
Great day.
Fuck.
One more thing before we jump into some emails potentially is West Coast, best post-game entertainment ever. Do you know this? You might not because you know you haven't paid attention since 2006.
Yeah.
But they play Eagle Rock after the games that they win.
Really?
So they did the song and then all of a sudden they just started playing Daddy Cool. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to turn around runs and I am going to do the Eagle Rock. Now listen. Oh, we're stepping out. All right.
Did you see how many people showed up in Perth for their celebration?
All of Perth.
40,000 people.
Mm.
All of Perth.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Except though. All the West. Except all the Freo supporters. No, the Freo supporters went there in disguise because they just wanted to feel what winning felt like.
That's an insane amount of people.
A lot of people went to the Collingwood one.
Like, how many, though? Mm. Like, fuck.
Well, a lot of them...
How many went to the Bulldogs when they won it?
Oh,
I feel like there was like 20,000 people.
But there's only about 15,000 supporters.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Boys,
yes.
Before we continue,
guess
what? Sub rules back.
The vest.
Pop the red vest on, green vest off. Joel Dush is back.
Hey!
Here we go. He's back.
It's been a long 6 weeks, boys. I've spent most of my time in the UK, people just intermittently yelling, hey, Dusha, how good's footy? And the answer was always pretty good. But wait until I get back and get to go to the grand final. Then I'll truly let you know how good footy is. And boys, I know you've covered this already, but what an absolute fucking game. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We saw the perfect tip and shoulder. Some great goals.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that.
Lucky I'm here.
Oh.
So I can't even remember who it was on, but Ryan.
Maynard.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Maynard.
Rioli?
Nah, Liam Ryan.
Was it Ryan?
Mate, I'm watching that boy like a hawk. He's my favourite.
Yeah. Okay.
We tried to get
Liam
Ryan.
Do you have a favourite player, Joel?
Peter Matera.
Good answer, though.
We tried to get Liam Ryan badges before the game, but they didn't have any.
Nah. Yeah. So Maynard just reached up for it was a short
a hand pass.
Yeah, a hand pass.
A hospital hand pass, because it put him in the fucking hospital.
Just fully outstretched, just ribs very exposed. Enter stage left. Liam Ryan, the human cannonball, who just fucking cleaned him up.
Gave him a block, if you will.
Yes.
Just put that elbow square between rib 3 and rib 4 and just pop the lung.
Maynard was feeling it for about 45 minutes, I reckon.
Very fair bump, too.
It was very fair.
Jeremy McGoverned him.
Yes.
It was also right in front of where we were sitting, and I reckon I heard the connection.
Yeah.
It was very loud. It was huge. Oh, what a game. So we went into the game, and I'm sure this has already been discussed, but just quickly, went into the game and we're like, look, we need to all support a team. We'll buy a scarf. I'd already decided on West Coast for obvious reasons, that obvious reason being fuck Collingwood. Listen to this idiot while I was editing last week, pointing at Tom, being like, oh, but the heart of Collingwood.
There were some great stories.
Redemption story for like DeGoey, who was a fuckhead at the start of the season.
Travis Varko.
Yeah, there were some nice stories, but also you were trying to sell the DeGoey story. That would be like if I was like, fuck, the West Coast boys should have done it for Gaff. It's the same thing. Anyway.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Anyway, so here I am sitting in the UK being a good boy editing, and I hear all this bullshit being sprouted. And then what worries me is that Sean was starting to buy into it. So I fired up Facebook Messenger and I was like, listen here, you fucks. Here's a real redemption story. West Coast in the mid-2000s, they're all fucking cooked.
Yeah, they were.
So like
cooked boys.
So like people are like, oh, like there was two great grand finals, but like were they fair wins? And this weekend we saw the fairest win. They marched over from Perth to the MCG. and showed everyone that interstate teams, MCG, not an issue.
Yep.
Good.
It was a solid game. It was so good. It was so exciting. The atmosphere was incredible. Bought a scarf at the start of the game. We decided we were barracking for West Coast. Talked Tom over. Got him a scarf.
To be fair, I'd already got there because on Friday at the parade, I heard the Collingwood chant for the first time all week. And I went, oh, I can't sit there. No, I can't be at a game and hear that and be part of that. So I had to jump on the Eagles.
Yeah. And by the time the last quarter rolled around, I would have fucking died for West Coast. I was ready to...
I almost got Josh Kennedy's beard tattooed on my face.
It was huge.
We were the most loyal and passionate fans there.
Yeah.
Especially even after the game.
Yeah.
We're from Perth.
Yeah.
And we've always believed.
Yep.
Fuck, it was good.
There was that one bloke, though, when you revealed that we weren't West Coast sports, who I thought was going to deck you.
He was fucking angry.
And, was he Collingwood?
Yeah. He was Collingwood, yeah. He was disgusted to find out that I barrack for Brisbane.
I was good. I had the opposite interaction. I was talking to a guy and he was like, oh, West Coast supporter. And I was like, oh, look, today I just decided I need to back for a team. And I was like, I don't want to go into the grand final half-hearted. I'll spend $20 on a scarf.
Yeah.
Just really support a team that I'm going for. And he was just like, oh, that's such a good idea.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm a neutral supporter too. Today I was back in West Coast because I'm an Essendon supporter. I couldn't see Collingwood win. I was like, I'm an Essendon supporter too. And he was like, yes.
So this time when confronted with an Essendon supporter and you were wearing the wrong team scarf, you admitted it.
Yes.
Good boy.
You want to hear a true redemption story?
There it is. You win the tipping. You're back.
Yes.
Yep. Because Button's a bot.
Dead.
Yeah.
Probably. We experienced something beautiful too when you're sort of leaving the ground and there's West Coast supporters everywhere and you just get amongst it.
Yeah. Everyone just high-fiving people.
High-fiving people.
Oh,
it's great.
Oh, it sounds beautiful, boys.
It was huge. It's all right, Sam, and you'll be there with us next year.
We did it for you.
Unfortunately, though, next year, Essendon will beat West Coast in the grand final.
Yeah, Brisbane will beat Essendon.
Oh, yeah. Guys.
Tom,
we all know Brisbane's going to knock Geelong out in the prelim.
Tom, we've been through this before. The window is well and truly shut.
Slammed shut. Can't wait for Tim Kelly to re-sign and kick it wide open.
Re-sign with West Coast.
You can't re-sign when the team is not at.
I'm talking about next year.
Yeah, fuck you. Yeah. You fucking popular saying dickhead.
Oh, the Eagles landed.
The Eagle took off and fucked you in the face.
Well, can we take a moment just to appreciate just the look on Eddie Maguire's face?
Oh. Yeah. Look, there's two things, and I feel bad because... Look, Nathan Buckley was trying his hardest to be a good bloke on Saturday, but that doesn't undo the 18 years of being a shithead.
Well, no, but I don't think it's Bucks' fault. I think it's Eddie.
Nathan Buckley has an incredible arrogant air to him.
Yeah, but I think it's
as a player, as a coach.
But it's that air that Hurd and those guys have because they're just a level above everybody else. They kind of don't understand.
As a player, Hurd didn't have it.
No, he does. It's like Gary Ablett has it, Hurd has it, Fife has it. It's that air that really good players. Chris Judd had it.
Chris Judd and Buckley, definitely.
So they can't understand.
I don't know about the other. Like Fife just seems like an idiot.
Yeah, he's a farm boy.
Yeah, Gary Ablett, he doesn't seem arrogant to me either.
No, but I think he would struggle to understand why someone isn't just good early on in his career. You know, he mellowed out, shaved his head. Got more sun into the brain.
Got that vitamin D.
More aerodynamic, so he understands things better. All right.
Yeah.
We're going to do some emails.
Oh, my favorite segment. Back just in time.
Good work.
Do you want me to go through them, mate? And you can take over the reins next week?
Yeah, sounds good, because I have not fired up the inbox in weeks.
We were talking...
Oh, no, I think we did fire the inbox up on Saturday night a couple of times. Apologies to those people. Those messages were good.
It's James. Yeah. Friend of the show, James.
So we'll respond to his message now, but just know that we replied to his email after we set the world record for most amount of schooners consumed at the MCG.
Dusha, we just mentioned a certain window being closed.
Yeah.
I just want to read out an email from friend of the show, Chad the Simple Guy.
Oh, yep. Chad, what have you got to say?
Know that his name is actually Sam.
All right, Chad.
He's very excited about winning the grand final. He got his grand final and his Norm Smith tip correct.
Whoa.
Watched a fucking awesome game of footy. And remembering that you guys and this pod aren't going away made my fucking week.
Whoa.
Finally.
Hear that, Sam? You can't cancel us now.
Finally.
All right, boys. You're off the chopping block.
Well, funnily enough, and this is like a semi-announcement that sort of goes with that, but it's also not really an announcement.
Yeah.
I was just guessing on Matt Stewart, friend of the show's other podcast, Primates, and he was like, oh, how good's footy? So this will be your last episode for the season. I was like, nah, we're still going. He was like, through off season. He was like, I was like, yeah. He was like, wow. And then he was like, nah, I appreciate that heaps. You're not going to lose the rhythm. I'm like, given the How Good's footy fans exactly what they want. They need to know how good footy is, even when that's what you need to know the most.
Yes, exactly. Correct.
When all footy's not there, yeah.
You're like, because then you might think that cricket's better. Good it is.
Yeah, well, and cricket absolutely is not better. No, not.
Oh, finally.
Yep.
Fuck Tom.
Oh,
your team is the only one that's getting worse out of you tip-top blokes.
Oh,
thank you for the phenomenal pod.
Oh, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. Sam.
Chad, I have to say, part of me. Not a lot of me, but there is part of me that's like, you know what? Fucking sign that petition. Reverse the decision.
This is from friend of the show, James, who's a Collingwood supporter, who got a bit of interaction back from us on the weekend. Dear Dusha, Carney and Reed, as a Collingwood supporter, footy is all right.
I don't get referred to by my last name a lot. It's weird.
Yeah. And next year is looking pretty good. I'm just glad it was a good game and good luck for your respective teams next year. I was wondering what you lads think of an NBA-style All-Star game in the middle of the season as opposed to the bye.
Nah,
the players want byes.
I don't know if the players would invest in it as well because there's just that worry of getting injured.
Do you know what needs to be? Make AFLX that. Like just teams of All-Stars.
I think AFLX is dead.
Yeah.
Good.
Do you reckon they'll bring that back? I don't think
apparently they're bringing it back in a different format. Non-existent is the format. Basically, you just have what it is there's only two players.
Yeah.
The goal squares touch one another in the middle of the ground, and it's just they've got to kick it into the other goal square.
What about just a friendly game of kick to kick?
All-star kick to kick.
Well,
James has suggested, you know, sort of like how they have the 3-point and the dunk contest and stuff. Should be like a kicking, goal kicking contest and a marking contest and stuff like that.
I've got 6 weeks worth of things to say on this show, I just realized. So there's going to be a lot of like, oh, that reminds me.
Yeah.
So I was speaking to my dad the other day, and apparently the grand final halftime show 1 year was like a footy Olympics where they did a lot of things like that. And they only did it once. And he was like, it's probably because it's too much for players to invest that much in. Yeah, but that has been done before in the 70s at some point.
Bring it back.
Apparently it was great. So like,
we've
it had
got
stuff
the longest
like,
kick, the era. The
longest kick and the grand final sprint. But there was also like other stuff like, kind of like what they do on the footy show with like hand passing competitions and stuff like that.
Man.
Also, something else while I'm just talking about my dad. So my dad has a South Melbourne heritage, as we've spoken about before, which is how I get the free pass with the following Sydney every now and then.
I wouldn't say free pass.
I would say absolutely get out of jail for free card. Anyway, so my dad... my dad, when he was a young fella, he played a bit of footy. He was not quite good enough to get into the VFL, but he played in the reserves quite a bit. And so he played for South Melbourne Districts. He was around a few other players that got quite successful. One of the players that he trained with, his first interaction with him was at the South Melbourne gym where he just saw this like scrawny, kind of funny looking bloke sitting on like a gym set, just like pumping weight, speaking like under his breath, being like, come on, mate, you've got this. You've got this. I won't reveal his name just yet. He was talking to himself, referring to himself in third person. So it sounded a little bit like, come on, Warwick, you've got this. Come on, Warwick. That's right. It turns out my dad was friends with Warwick the Wiz Gappa. Oh. Yeah. So that basically makes him friend of the show.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Warwick Gappa. Yeah. Yep. Done.
My grandfather played football with Bobby Skilton heaps.
You mispronounced 3-time Brownlow medalist Bob Skilton.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's insane. I did. Yeah. So yeah, there's some footy facts for you. I've basically got footy in my blood.
And you never played. You never took it up.
Well, I don't know if I've also mentioned this on the show before. You see what I mean? I'm just full of footy. Yeah, the reason I never played football is like I've only got one kidney, so the doctors were like, no contact sports.
Yeah.
So basically what I'm saying is I probably could have been...
Gonna put it out there. Bit soft. Tom Lonergan played an entire career with one kidney.
Yeah. How old is he? Younger than me?
No. Tom Lonergan, he's older than you.
Oh, fuck.
He retired last year at like 32.
So yeah, that is older than me.
But isn't that in your favour because you were younger?
Well, no, I was going to say...
So it was like for him, you're already a footy player, you know the risks.
No.
You.
Was he born with one kidney?
No, he had both kidneys and lost one during a game.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so what? Yeah, that's... Yeah. Where'd it go?
Was in an induced coma for a week.
He is the probably the most courageous player in the history of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he copped a knee.
He was going back with a flight of the ball, stretched out with a mark, and a Melbourne guy just collected his knee, ruptured his kidney, missed the next year, came back, not as a forward, as a defender, whose job was to run back with the flight of the ball, won 2 grand finals.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Courage. There goes my hero.
Yeah, I was told from like birth, they told my parents, they're like, don't let him play any contact sports because one knee would kill me.
It's because you're a baby.
And they're like, don't let his infant play. It's weird that we have to tell you this, but your infant should not be playing contact sports.
Oh, I was going to get him to play.
His skull is soft. What? He will die.
I was going to get him to play with my mate Warwick. He would take a hanger on a baby. Given a half a chance. Sorry.
Baby, kick it. The baby's got no kneecaps. Ah, it's a bloody piss poor excuse.
I'm going to tackle him.
Sorry, that was from friend of the show and Collingwood supporter James, to which How Good's Footy replied with, up the fucking Eagles, yeah, boy! And then
good professional.
And then
I
also
like
shortly
it.
After, love from the official and slightly very sourced How Good's Footy boys. Then James replied, to the fucks known as the official and slightly very sourced How Good's Footy boys, congrats and drink up, although I am hoping you will do off-season shows.
We absolutely will.
To which we replied, we will, mate, XOXO Gossip Girl.
We didn't reply that one, Sean.
What?
Sure, mate.
Oh, I don't know what
happened. I don't have access to the email because I don't know the username or the password.
So and I was, as producer, overseeing the first one. I threw in the sign off. The second one was all you, mate.
Yep, I'll own it. Friend of the show, Josie, has emailed. Lads.
Has she yelled at me before?
Everyone's yelled at you. Look, if they're friend of the show, it's because they've yelled at you.
From memory, one of her kids has typical Geelong arrogance.
Oh, that's right, and makes the other one cry.
Yeah. Lads, as a St Kilda girl, I hate to say it, but I'm on the Pies today, so this is pride of the group.
The pact
was made with the boys at work that we would back whoever's team was left standing, and of course our resident Pies man is happy as a pig in shit.
Probably not so much now. Now he probably just feels like he's in shit. Yeah.
I feel like a total TC given the events of grand finals past, but they looked so good last week, and I too hated how much I loved it. I possibly also only loved it because I kept Snapchatting my mate who bleeds Richmond with every score, every time the Pies kicked another one, and that was just really satisfying after a year of hearing fucking Tigerland on loop. Also, 110% on board with today being Australia Day. In Brisbane, we also have River Fire tonight, which is the super dumb thing where we let fireworks off all along the river. I didn't get the hype, but people love it. And it kicks off.
That sounds dangerous as fuck. Let's go to Brisbane.
And it kicks off.
Fuck, I love going. Yeah, Brisbane's great.
And it kicks off not long after the game, so it makes perfect sense. Plus, I guess if you're into that dumb game they're going to play tomorrow, the NRL Grand Final, then why not make it Australia weekend? So much better than sweating our ringers off in fucking January like a bunch of idiots. And long weekend. What more could you want? Anyway, I've probably just given the Pies the kiss of death. Absolutely.
Good work, Josie. No, but thank you.
What the hell? I'm going to go black out a few of my teeth, punch a random, crack a tinny, and get in character. Up the Pies, I guess, Josie.
Thanks for the email, Josie, and also thank you for that kiss of death.
Yeah, no, well done. Well done.
They kicked the first 5 goals, then checked the How Good's Footy inbox, saw that you'd backed them, and then shit the bed from there onwards.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys chose to back West Coast, simply because if I guess you chose to back Collingwood, you'd have to like maybe rent out a small child.
Whereas, back in West Coast was easy. I just had to get some meth.
Yeah. That's easy to come by.
It would have been good. We were like, all right, we're backing for Collingwood, and then we come in today, and Zammit's just like, oh, so yeah, no, don't record today because I've cancelled the show. Yeah.
Friend of the show, Paul Crosley, also a West Coast boy.
Yeah.
We are the mighty Eagles of the West. That was the best grand final I have witnessed since the 2005-06 grand finals. I'm spending the next 4 months in space. Yeah. We overcame.
Just like the Eagles did in 2005-06.
We overcame all the odds and did all that it took to get the win. I wanted to know your thoughts on only players who play on the day getting the premiership medal. Should it go to the squad? You know, should it go to Nick Nat and Andrew Gaff, for instance? In the Super Bowl, he believes every team member gets a ring, even the support staff. What do we think? The mighty Eagles. Thanks, Paul.
That is a good question, something that I had thought about before. It's weird because there's some situations where I feel bad. Like, so like the Bob Murphy's the knickknat. But then there's situations where I'm like,
Gaff.
Yeah, he shouldn't have a medal and he doesn't deserve it. So
if you the issue is like my first thought was, oh, it's not a bad idea, but only if they've played like at least maybe 3 games that year for the club.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But then I'm like, no, because if you're Andrew Gaff and you do something dumb like that, that results in you getting suspended for the grand final.
Punching a man's face clean
off.
You're
then still getting, the fact that you don't get a premiership medal is kind of the thing of like,
yeah,
you fucked up so bad, you didn't get to play in a grand final, no medal for you.
What about the Brad Shepherds?
But see, then where do you draw the line though?
Well, because he missed the grand final because he was suspended, yeah?
Yep, yep.
So what about people who were injured, that kind of stuff?
Okay, so if you're suspended, you're ineligible for Brownlow and a premiership medal.
But
if you're injured, you get the premiership medal.
But then also, what if you're a player that's struggling to make the team and then you get injured? So like, Essendon win the flag, but Josh Green is injured.
Well, no, because he's super cheap Green.
And also, also delisted.
He's in football heaven. Because I'm a traditionalist, and I just think, like, I would think of it as, if you're not actually playing on that day, you wouldn't feel like you earned it anyway, would you?
Well, that's why Bob gave it back the next day.
Yeah. Like Nick Nat, if they gave him a medal, he'd be like, oh, I didn't play. Gaff certainly would be like, I don't deserve this.
Nick Nat.
He just did
his knee earlier in the year.
Yeah. He was just out for the season.
I think it's the blokes who play on the day.
Yeah,
although Nick Nat deserves a premiership medal solely for the fact he captured Luke Shuey doing a shoey on camera.
Yeah. Amazing.
I mean, give him shoeys.
I think the coaching staff should get something.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just the senior coach who gets the Jock McHale medal, but the other guys should get
a version
of the premiership medal, I think.
Like a coaching staff.
I think any of the coaching staff on the day should get the same as all the players get. Like, they should all get a premiership medal.
There's the coaching medal? What if there's just another medal for the entire squad? So if you are part of West Coast, but
there might be.
Yeah.
Like, so
West Coast might.
Do you want to know something hilarious? Do you know they give out medals if you lose? Well, I don't think they do it anymore. Have I told you this?
You don't go up and get it, but the AFL gives you one last and they hand them out, and the players probably put them in the bin. But yeah.
So Mitch Brown, who used to play for West Coast, got one in 2005, and he's like, it is the saddest medal in the world.
Yeah.
Because the premiership medal has like a poem on the back from the head of the AFL.
wait.
I what? Love footy. Footy is good.
No, it's like it's like a poem Haggard's about
winning the flag.
It's the same. It's Kisses, the same poem Gil. Every year, but it's signed by the head of the AFL.
Yeah. Yeah.
As in Gill?
No. It'll be
Steve Hocking or
not Hocking.
Or the chairman.
The chairman.
Yeah, whoever that is. Yeah.
So that's on that one. But the loser medal also has like an inscription's basically been like, you know, better luck next time. Getting here is a win in and of itself. But the picture on the medal is of two players consoling one another. Like two players crying. It's fucked.
Jeez.
I think it's why you don't hear about it, because it is the fucking worst medal in the world.
Oh, how good was the Auskick girl giving Josh Kennedy the medal and just be like, bloody rip a game, mate. Well done.
That ruled.
Fuck. I love it.
How good's footy?
It's the best. We got one more from resident West Coast fan Charlie McGregor. Mm-hmm. Boys, my goodness. What a game of football. All week, I've been nervous, hoping that we wouldn't have a repeat of 2015 against the Hawks. But still, there was the undeniable excitement that you get from your team being in a grand final. It built up all week, and come Saturday morning, I was confident that we wouldn't get smashed. Then the first quarter happened. My mum, brother, and I all decided to go out to the local pub to watch the game. Had a surprising amount of Collingwood supporters, as we soon found. Ooh. Jubilation of Kennedy taking the first mark was quickly overwhelmed by the dread brought out by Collingwood kicking the next five. I had flashbacks to 2015 and I was convinced it would be a day of heartbreak. But then we had some luck from the Wiz himself, Willie Rioli. Is that his nickname, the Wiz?
Nah. There's only two players called the Wiz, and one was Warwick Kappa and the other one was Jeff Farmer. And Warwick Kappa, he probably will tell you that he should have had it only as him.
He'll tell you a lot of things.
Oh, he will. He'll sell you a bottle of wine and a timeshare. Fuck.
I'm not going to do a whole recap of the grand final, but the few things I do want to say is Barras is a superstar.
Yep.
Schofield played a phenomenal game on Dugowie, who may be a fuckwit, but he's a talented fuckwit. Gov for playing a great game after being in hospital less than a week earlier. He had internal bleeding.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Took the match-saving mark.
And Dom Sheed for kicking that winning goal.
Just threading the needle.
I don't think I'll ever forget watching that moment and how I felt as I saw the ball sail through the goals, causing mass jubilation and heartbreak all at the same time. Tom, did you stand up for it? I fucking did.
Well, we were up.
We were up.
Fuck.
I almost crowd surfed, I reckon.
I stood up so quickly at that goal, I got a head spin.
Yeah, it was...
I got tingly in my arms and my legs.
This is the first premiership I feel a part of. I'm 19, so I wasn't too young for the 06 team, but I actually didn't get into footy properly until 07. So it didn't carry the same weight as this one does. I hope you all had fun at the game, lads. Ooh. Finally, I want to thank you boys again for a cracking podcast all year. Not only has it been a highlight of my week, but it's also introduced me to Sean and Tom. And I've got to say that this trio is my favourite Sans Pants group.
Hey. Oh, hey. Oh.
So thank you.
I didn't. Yeah. I thought I was doing your boys a favour by being a bit of a pitch hitter and coming in and filling in. Instead, I get my feelings hurt.
Welcome to How Good's Footy, yeah. Where you think people like stuff, but they just send you emails telling you they hate you. Yeah.
How Good's Footy, boys. Also, Tom should fucking die. Yeah. Is pretty much what all that
is. I'm waiting for the PS to tell me to fucking jump in the river.
So thank you.
How good is getting your feelings hurt? It's not very, guys.
So thank you for bringing us hours upon hours of quality footy podcasting, as well as just being general good lads on Twitter as well.
Oh.
I don't know what I'll do on Wednesdays now until the preseason starts back up. Well, mate, you'll be here.
Unfortunately.
Enjoy not having the threat of toast hang over your weekends for a few months, boys. You're a resident Eagles fan, Charlie. P.S. Fuck yeah, we won the flag. P.P.S. If the Eagles don't make it to the granny next year, I'm hoping for some combination of Brizzy, Essendon or Geelong. Champion. Fuck, boys, how good's footy?
How good's footy? So I just want to quickly point out that means that they started listening to the show solely because I was in it. So that's pretty good.
And well done.
I just want a quick shout out to a fan in Atlanta, Jamie, who is the only person who told me that they missed me in the show. So that was nice.
We didn't miss him.
Yeah. Jamie, it's okay. I'm back now. And thanks so much for listening to the show. Atlanta's really far away as well and doesn't have AFL. Well, mine.
Do they have the Tall Boys?
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah,
are they the Tall Boys?
Yeah, the Tall Boys. The Atlanta Tall Boys.
Great name.
The wardrobe.
I tell you what, it's good to be back. I've missed footy. I love footy. And how good's footy?
If you want to tell us how good footy is, you can send us an email at howgoodsfooty@gmail.com or on Twitter at howgoodsfooty or individually. I'm at Awkward Trade.
I'm at Sidekick of Dowie.
I'm at Douche13.
And I'm at goddammit Zammit.
You can tweet Zammit and let him know how good you find us three.
Yeah,
all the time.
Do that. Yeah. Do that for the next 6 months.
Also, I'm going to include at the end of this episode a recording of what Tom thinks his top eight will be next season.
Ooh.
That was recorded live at the grand final after the game had been done and also after we'd had about 10 beers.
So, I do not remember this top eight. Should be good.
So yeah, that'll be just after this. Yeah. Boys, how good's footy?
Oh, it's the best, Dusha.
Fucking great.
Welcome back.
Oh, it's coming home.
Oh.
Okay, so this is my grand final aftermath, baseless first top eight.
Top eight after a few schooners. That's also important.
Year. For next year.
Oh, I like this.
So first, Eagles.
Yeah.
Yep. Second, I reckon, Richmond still.
Oh. Have another beer, mate.
All right. West Coast one. Two. Geelong.
Have many
three.
More beers.
Three will be North Melbourne.
Jesus.
Yep, we're going to top four. Four will be Melbourne. Fifth will be the Bombers. Then Giants, Sydney. Sorry, Sean. You're going to come back ninth or tenth.
Come.
In eighth place, Richmond.
Essendon win the flag. Go, Bombers!
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.